Good morning. Front seats, it's great to have you here, brother. We're going to do something a little different today. We're going to do the sermon in the interview format. And really, we would love for you to get to know Francis, to hear about his life and about how his faith has been active, and then to get to know about the church in Ghana through his eyes. So Francis has been leading in Ghana for 7 years. You can see this is a picture of his beautiful family. So you've chosen for the title of the sermon this morning, Francis, Transformation Follows Commitment. Now, we all want to be transformed into the likeness of Christ.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been introduced to Jesus Christ. We all want to be transformed. But your title is Transformation Follows Commitment. And this is the opening scripture. I'll just read it here quickly. Acts 13, verses 2 and 3. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, and this was in the church there as recorded in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. So tell me about the title and about this verse. Why did you choose this verse to kick off the sermon on Transformation Follows Commitment?
Good morning to everybody.
Yep.
Please, can you allow me to say something?
Absolutely,
before?
Absolutely, anything you want.
Yes, I can answer this question before I bring you Accra, Ghana, brothers and sisters' love, and also their gratitude for who you are, for our partnership with you. We are so grateful. And being here today is truly a blessing. And on behalf of our 6 churches, because we are part of WAM, who is a West African mission, and West African mission is divided by 8 blocks, and Ghana is the second block with 6 churches, Accra, Cape Coast, Takoradi, Kumasi, Koforidua, and we had this opportunity and privilege to oversee Guinea-Bissau. Then this morning, on behalf of my brothers and sisters from this block, I would like to say thank you to all of us. It's all of you. It's really, really a privilege for me to be here. Steve, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. This scripture is the one who changed my life. Hmm. Yeah, 35 years ago, I was a student, and I have a privilege. I was blessed to have a neighbor. Her name is Patricia. She was a disciple, and she came with an invitation card. And I was a very troublemaker. Then she invited all of classmate without invited me, and I was, why not me? Then while she was talking with another person, I went behind and I chose the invitation of my salvation. she was not happy to see me taking this invitation card. I don't know why, but I say, okay, what is the problem? And she looked at me, because I thought this invitation card was for her birthday. You see my motive? Then I say, okay, what is this? And she said, okay, this is for church. I look at her, I say, wow, I'm Christian. I was baptized when I had 2 years old. I have a Catholic background. Then she looked at me and she told me, okay, if you are sure that you are Christian, we have a Bible talk tomorrow. I say, okay, I will be there. And I will show your pastor that I know more than him. This is how God opened the way for my salvation. Then I went, and Hervé Florent was the one who was in charge of this Bible talk. And the topic we went through was about Lazarus and the rich man. Then at the end of the last question Elve asked to everybody is, tell me, what was the sin who led this rich man to the hill. Some people say lack of love, greed, and he turned the question and he asked us, what about you? If this guy went to this place because of lack of love, what about you? Knowing my life, I was just broke. I started crying, and five brothers and sisters came to see me, and they asked me, what do you want to do? And I asked them, what shall I do? Mm-hmm. Then they opened the way for me, and they gave me this opportunity to study with them. And a few weeks later, I became disciple. When I became disciple, my first discipling time, the scriptures used by Patrick was these scriptures. And he told me that God called me to teach me, to raise me, and to send me. That is why I use this scripture this morning for our first interview today.
Okay. So I want to talk to you about your early ministry in Abidjan. You were baptized in, Francis was baptized in 1990, and within the same year you were leading a Bible talk. You were a Bible talk leader. Then over the years you came to lead bigger and bigger groups of the church there in Abidjan, Ivory Coast. We're not yet to Ghana, okay? He's in the Ivory Coast, which is a country just west of Ghana in West Africa. So you were leading more and more things in the church there in Abidjan.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that period in your life.
Okay. I was part of the first 100 disciples who were baptized, mm-hmm. because the church started in 1989, October, and I was invited around February and March, and I became disciple in May 23rd, 1990. Mm-hmm. Then we don't have time. Everybody were called to be ready to serve, and our first young Christian leaders was the young doctor, American doctor who is here, Mark Otenola.
Pictured in the center,
yes.
By the way.
Yes, this is Mark.
And young Francis, yes. Is over on the right.
Yes, and then Mark took us to the beach, and when he asked this question to all of us, what is your dream? And my dream, I raised my hand and I said, because the first time when I went to a church on Sunday, the preacher man was Mike Tolliver.
Okay.
The wonderful preacher. I was amazed. I say, God, I want to be like this guy. Mm-hmm. Then when Mark asked this question, I say, Mark, I want to lead all Africa. Mm. And the other old disciples who were there before me, they look at me and say, you. You just came yesterday and you want to lead. I say, okay. And then from the beginning, I knew that I was called by God to do something different. Then I took 3 months later, I baptized Eric, Michelle, and Jules. And Hervé asked me to go to Kumasi. Kumasi is a small area in Abidjan. Mm-hmm. And I went with Eric, Michelle, and Jules, and we started this small Bible talk with four. And by God's grace, today, these three small Bible talk with four members moved to a big south region in Abidjan, mm-hmm. with over 400 disciples. Mm-hmm. This is where now Hervé and all the other leaders look at me and they started dreaming for me. Then my responsibility, I moved from this small Bible talk to lead the single ministry. And I would like to greet all the singles ministry. We can't wait to see our next retreat because Accra people are so fired up to be involved. Mm. Then I went to another, the north region, From the north region, I was sent to the west region. From the west region, I was sent to another region. Then I did all when I was single. And by God's grace, in 1994, yes. November 1994, God gave me my awesome wife, Paul, mm-hmm. and together we started now leading together.
Now, it sounds like you must have gone through many challenges through this period that demanded a great amount of commitment.
Yes.
And through that commitment, God has transformed you.
Yes.
And you shared with us nicely that God didn't have much to work with, but he raised up a man of God.
Yeah.
Tell us about the commitment that this required and how that transformed you.
Yes, you know, go and make disciples is a call, is a commission mm-hmm. for all of us. And what God is expect when he sent us this commission, it was that we just obey to this call. Mm. Then for me, I was born in a family where my father was a military man.
Okay.
And what he taught me is that when your boss call you, you must be ready. And for me, the day I became disciple, God became my boss.
Mm.
And whatever he will say, I need to be ready and go and do it.
Amen.
And then it was not easy, because being a leader, you must go through a transformation way.
Mm.
Through the Bible, reading, trials, challenges, and also discipling times. And I make myself available for all these things, because nothing will come to you without God's hands.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that everything's happened to my life was because God wanted to train me, he wanted to transform me. But the transformation I'm speaking about is more through the power of the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
I went to school, I studied finances and account. I was working for a big company in Ivory Coast when I was called to come on full times. But all these things doesn't have power to change my life.
Mm.
Only the Word of God and the powerful discipling, training, and mentorship through these awesome and incredible leaders God sent to us in Ivory Coast. Then, when God transforms your life and your mind and your character, it's not just to continue to be in your comfort zone, but it's for him to prepare you and send you. And you must be ready.
Well, on that note, God was only beginning to call you to fantastic levels of commitment. I want to talk about a period with you now about in your ministry where you planted four different churches across West Africa. You led the church in Abidjan for a period and then ended up leading the church through civil war in the Ivory Coast. So everybody can see the details on the screen. Tell us about that period in your life and ministry.
Okay. Exactly in 1997.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. 1997, I just lost my father, who was a great disciple,
mm-hmm.
and I went through a emotional and physical time, and I think God was preparing myself for great things. Then one day, Eve called me, my wife and I. My wife also was working for another company, and she resigned from her full-time minister to join me. And Eve told us that, okay, I think you are ready now. I said, for what? He said, oh, this transformation is now fair. We can see, it's evident that your transformation is. Then we want to send you to Lomé. Mm. Then we went to Lomé with other three brothers and sisters.
With three other brothers
yes,
and sisters.
Yes, Eric, Nathalie, and Francoise, myself, and my wife, Paul.
So five of you went to plant a church.
We went to plant a church. But Lomé has been a dream for me. Because one day our team in Ivory Coast went to play with a Nigerian church,
mm-hmm.
and while we were going through Lomé, I saw this wonderful and peaceful country, and I make this prayer to God. I say, God, one day if you want to send a mission here, please, I want to be the one who will lead this mission. Mm. Then when the time of this mission came, I was surprised that Eve chose another person to go to Lomé. Okay. And he chose me to go to Gabon. The following day, I wake up and I went to the Gabon embassy to ask a visa. They look at me and they told me, we can't give visa to the pastor. Then I came back to Eve house to tell him that the Gabonese said that they won't give me the visa. Eve said, oh, wow, sorry. It was a mistake. You are going to Lomé. Then, brothers and sisters, whatever happened in your life is not a mistake. God is planning something Amen. Special for you. Amen. This is how now he asked me to prepare this team, and we went. I spent 7 months in Lomé. From 5 disciples, our attendance moved to 100 disciples. Mm. Then we were there when my wife...
In 7 months.
My wife, we baptized 20 people, and attendance every Sunday was 100. Then we were there when my wife, my father, passed away. Mm. Then we went back to Ivory Coast for the funeral. And after the funeral, Eve called us. I thought he invited us to come and share lunch together. But when we finished to eat, he looked at me and he told me that within 7 months, this is now the attendance in Lomé. I think it's time for you to move. Mm. This is why now we went back to Lomé, we packed our thing, and he sent us to Dakar. Dakar is...
That's 98% Muslim, isn't it?
Yes. Dakar is the country with 98% Muslim.
Okay.
And I asked Eve, what is the team with us? And he told us that the team is only you and your wife. Wow.
Okay.
Wow. It was just a crazy challenge, but we went. And we got there on Friday night. I don't know if we have to go on right or on left. We don't know. Then we stopped a taxi driver, and he took us to the hotel. I asked him, is this a good hotel? He said, yes. Unfortunately, it was a hotel where the prostitute came with their client.
Uh-oh.
We were in our room, and all the people in the corner can just see my wife and I on our bed. Then the following day, we wake up, and we went to find another place.
Yeah.
That was... yes. Another place, brothers and sisters, that is God. Yeah. Because the place where we went was rented by someone. And this is where, on Sunday morning, we started officially in our small room, the hotel room. We started the International Church of Christ in Senegal with 25 visitors,
wow.
My wife and I. And one of the visitors was the daughter of the owner of this building. We studied with her, and she became the first disciple in Dakar. This is how Dakar came. And I think 1 year later, Eve was called to move to Nairobi. Then he asked my wife and I to come back to Ivory Coast to support the new lead evangelist, Blaise and Patricia, who were in charge of. This is when we came back. I was appointed as evangelist, and my wife as a woman ministry leaders. Mm. Yeah. And we started with only my wife and I, and 1 year later, when we were called back to Ivory Coast, we were 21 disciples.
Mm.
Yeah.
So tell us quickly about the Civil War and what the challenges were, the call to commitment that God made, and how it transformed you through that period.
Yes. That is... the wonderful and incredible time God used to also grow our character and transform our character. Mm-hmm. Because this war came because 2 candidates proclaimed that they were the winner of the presidential election. Mm-hmm. Then discussion after discussion, 4 months later, the war started. Mm-hmm. And now my wife and I, we just started leading Abidjan and all the French-speaking country, 1st January 2010.
Mm-hmm.
I was a new leader, so I don't know what to do, but it was a period where God called us to have a deep and special relationship with him through prayer and fasting. Wow. Yeah, I'm telling you, no one among the disciples was killed during this period. The church grew from 1,750 disciples. After the period of this war, we became 2,000 disciples.
Wow, so it grew through the grew. War.
Incredible times. During this period, I officiate myself and the other evangelists, we officiate 62 weddings.
Okay.
Because I remember one of the weddings, I was officiated near to the church building, and all of a sudden, we heard people fighting, boom, 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 around us. And the guests would want to leave, and I told them that God is an amazing father, and he wants to congratulate this wedding with all what you are. Because, yes, if... they were ready to leave the place, and it won't be safe for them to go. Then we stay, and later on, it was quiet, and we left to go to home. But I can't share all the stories of this war. But what I want to say is that God has been so faithful.
Oh, yes.
Many people lost their job and or their small business, and all the churches around the world put money together and they send it to us to make sure that everyone will get something and start a new business. And Mark came with this money and he helped us. And today, I'm not sure that North River was part of these people who put money together. Please, thank you so much again. Yeah.
I advanced one too many slides there. We need to move on to Ghana. Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
So in 2018, you and Paul moved to Ghana in order to help lead the church there. And of course, that was a new language for you. I don't know how good your English was at the time, but you've come a long way. God is powerful. And in 2021, you planted a church in Takoradi. You were down for a year with COVID in the hospital, and some crazy stories there we probably won't get into. There are tons of great things that have happened in Ghana that God has worked through you and through the church there. I know you're so thrilled. Just tell us a little bit about the church in Ghana through your and your wife's eyes. Tell us a little bit.
Wow. We went through a difficult times around 2014 and 16 in Ivory Coast. But you know, when this kind of things happen, you might be think that it's not God.
Mm.
But I think it was an opportunity because God want to see Matthew 28, 18 to 20 to my life.
Mm-hmm.
Because he called us to go to every nation.
Mm.
And then me, I say, okay, I went to Dakar, I went to Lomé, I was involved in other mission around the French-speaking country. And I think it's time for us to move to another side of Africa, which is an English part.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where. I got a proposal to go to Lagos, but my heart was not ready.
Mm-hmm.
Then one day I took a small retreat and I went to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to pray, I saw a gardener, the guy who was walking, cleaning the garden,
mm-hmm.
and when I finish, I put on the paper, French-speaking country, English-speaking country, French and English-speaking country on the paper.
Mm-hmm.
Then I called this guy and I said, please come. Then he came, I say, I came here for 3 days retreat and I want to hear God's voice.
Mm-hmm.
Please, I will put this paper before you and choose. You will choose 3 times and what you will choose will be what God want me to do. Then I put the paper before him.
Okay.
Number one, he chose English country.
Okay.
I look at him and I say, how can I go to English country when I don't know how to speak English? Then I put again the paper before him and the guy chose again English country. Wow. The third time, he chose again English country. Okay, I went home And I share everything with my wife.
Uh-oh.
And exactly in April, one of my friends in Lexington Church here called me and said, go to Disciple today. I show something there. Maybe you will be interested.
Mm.
And I went to Disciple today and showed that Ghana Church was looking for a couple with experience to lead their church.
Mm.
So, wow. I came and I said, my wife, this is what I saw. What do you think? She said, and I look at her and I say, my wife, please be careful. Remember my retreat. Then without tell her, the following day, I wake up early morning between 3 a.m. and 4 a.m. I prayed. I put my resume together and I sent it.
Hmm.
Yeah. 1 week later, I received a call from Chris and he asked me to be prepared for interview.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Are we going to do the interview in French or in English? He said, we are going to do it in English. Okay. Then Richard Laway called me mm-hmm. with his wife. We went through the first interview. I went through the second with Chris and Orolayo.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the third interview with you and some people here.
There you go.
And finally, we were four. Two other people were removed from the list. And Emmanuel and May and I were chose to go to Accra to spend 1 week with, at the church there. My wife told me, you see, Emmanuel and May is our teacher here in the world. And he speaks very well English.
Mm.
And he knows this church. And you say that you want to fight with him. I said, okay, let's go. Then he went first. And the following week, my wife and I, we went. We spent 1 week. And I told her, when I went, someone called me, what are you going to do in Accra?
Mm.
I said, I'm going to love them.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to Accra.
To love them.
And 3 weeks later, I received a call from Patrick that my wife and I, we have been chosen to lead the church. Then we went there in 2018. On Friday, when we got there, my children, no one can speak any word in English.
Mm.
Friday, but Monday morning, they went to school and they started school in English. By God's grace, Anna and David got their exam to go to university. Today, they are David is student in business administration,
mm-hmm.
and Anna is a student in communication and management. And my twins, Luis and Timothy, they got their BC, and now this coming Monday, they will start the first year of high school.
Mm.
Brothers and sisters, Accra was a challenge, but look at me carefully this morning and remember these scriptures. Matthew 28, particularly the verse 20 say, I will be with you.
Yes, you know.
Amen? This is why I got my strength to be committed to God. Because whatever it is not about you. Mm. It's about God. Mm. It's not about your comfort zone. It's about God's kingdom. It's Amen. Not about what will happen to you. It's about what will happen to the kingdom of God. Mm. And you must be ready to obey. Because God wants to use you to do an incredible things. We went there, and the first 2 years was awesome. Because the church went through a period of crisis, and our first challenge was to set up unity.
Mm.
This is what we were doing when I was home. And a wonderful sister, my wife, loved, who had the COVID, she came home and she gave us COVID, myself, my wife, all my family. I was took to the hospital. My wife and children stay home, and their COVID was healed within 1 week. But myself, I spent 3 months at this hospital. I carry oxygen for 3 months. I went to coma 2 times. I was told that I would not survive. And one day in the evening time, I told my wife, I will spend my time with God. I will do my own retreat.
Mm.
I went to this time with God on my bed, and I look at God and I told God, you sent me here to lead the church, not to be a body dead.
Mm.
Please, I beg you, please heal me. I spent 3 hours praying and begging God. And all of a sudden, I don't know, I wake up. It was 6 a.m. What happened this night? I don't know what God. But the following day, I received a visit of 9 doctors.
Okay.
They came with a different opinion. But I want to take this opportunity to thank my friend Oduse. I think he's around today. When I got this COVID on January, I called Oduse, and Oduse asked me, wow. Oduse called the doctor, and I don't know how, but this is when they started taking care of me. Because I hear that my kidney, my lung, everything, my sugar level, I was just there waiting for maybe the final. But God has been so faithful. And one day they came back to see me and they told me, we will discharge you. Then I went home, but I still be under oxygen. Then I carried this oxygen for 6 months. After this, I went through a physiotherapy, and the day I went back to see the doctor for my review, he asked me to do the scan, and he looked at the scan and he told me, where were you? And I looked at him and I said, I was at my place. But he said, you are healed.
God is great.
Yes. Brothers and sisters, God is still alive. The same God yesterday, the same God today, and the same God tomorrow. When you serve God with a pure heart, He will take care of you. When God sends you somewhere, please be ready to obey. God will take care of you. Hear that I will not be alive in 2021 and be here today, 2025, talking to you is really a miracle. Then, May, I was discharged.
Yeah.
I went back to the review in August.
Yeah.
And I told them, if I'm healed, why should I stay at home? This is why we put all the team together and we set up the Takoradi Church in September.
Oh, there you go.
That is how we started the Takoradi Church. Since then, God now started a blessing house with a great and vibrant youth ministry. We changed our single ministry to a blessing ministry. Many became a young professional. We experienced success with our teens. From 2021 to 2025, 40 from our teens ministry became a student. Many were sent to Kumasi, to Koforidua, to Cape Coast, and to Accra.
Wow.
Then Accra Church, now we, with all the block, we are 346 members, 300 in Accra, and we are hoping that next year will be a great year because we are now training a younger generation.
Amen.
And last June was their special service where they have 126 in attendance. And right now what we are doing is that every aspect of our church and our service, they involve.
Wow.
When I went to Accra, we had only 4 sectors. Now Accra is 7 sectors. When I went, we had 3 service every Sunday. Now is 5 service every Sunday.
Okay.
From 2020 to 2024, we baptized 120 new disciples. And I think that there is hope.
Amen.
There is hope. It's not about me because when Mike, Hervé, and all, only Hervé, but when this Marco Tenor and all this group came to Abidjan, nobody speak French. But it's God through his Holy Spirit. Because God said, I will send you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will lead you.
Amen.
This church is not about our elders, it's not about our evangelists, it's about our connection with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And brothers and sisters, please continue to be connected with the Holy Spirit and let him lead your heart and your mind, and to God be the glory.
Amen. Thank you so much. Mark Ottenweller is just going to come up and thank you, Francis.
Francis Dasse. In French, you say, mon propre frère. Mon propre frère, my very brother. So, Francis, nous voulons vous accueillir et nous voulons vous remercier pour toute la foi, l'amour, l'engagement, tout le service que vous avez fait. Et nous voulons élargir notre partenariat tous ensemble avec l'église de Accra et l'église ici. Et nous voulons prier pour vous, pour le futur là-bas. Merci beaucoup pour toutes les choses que vous avez faites.
Amen.
Amen. Alors, we've tortured him a bit in French.
Yeah.
In English.
Yes. Thank you so much. last 3 weeks, Mark and Vision and
Vision
and Dream team were in Accra. They did a wonderful job with the community and the church. And I would like to extend our invitation to you guys. Next year
everybody.
Will be yeah everybody. Next year will be Zimbabwe and Accra. Please come.
Amen.
Visit and serve your community in Accra, Ghana. And
Amen.
To God be the glory. Thank
Amen.
You so much.
Let's
quick prayer, Mark.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we know the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power.
Amen.
And we thank you for powerful leaders that are rising up around the world to serve you and honor you and bring you glory. We thank you for saving us, for forgiving us, for giving us a new life, for giving us a great church, for giving us great leaders that can help us to rise up to serve you and bring you honor and glory. All this we ask in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.